All right, let's turn to James chapter 5, right? Today we, I'm excited the fact that we're finishing James, and hopefully preaching through James will help us to realize the practical Christian life. Let's stand, all right, as we will be reading. There's three verses today. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. I'll read verse 13. You read verse 14. And then we'll all read verse 15 together. Okay, ready? I'll read James chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Verse 14. Verse 15 together. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, even as the Apostle James teaches us the life of faith and how it should be expressed, and one of the biggest areas, Lord, I believe today you would like to help us to understand is that a life of faith is oftentimes reflected in the life of prayerfulness. So today, Lord, we just want to look at the practical aspects of when to pray. And Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will encourage us that in every area of our life, Lord, you have given us an important tool in our relationship with you, that in everything that happens to us, Lord, in every situation, that we can pray. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a simple way. Speak to us in an encouraging way. And Father, help us, Lord, to adopt prayer as a life principle. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Yeah. Before I start James 5, I was tempted to finish the whole chapter already because I thought there's a lot of information, I believe, and teaching that God wants to give to us. So just going to focus on three verses. Next week, looking at the whole area of confession. And then finally, we're going to finish off by looking at compassion of a Christian, all right, in the practical Christian life. Okay. So today we're going to be looking at prayer. Okay, a life of faith in Christ is reflected primarily in a life of prayerfulness. Praying is a very important principle in all of our lives. We all know that. Yes? I hope you do know that, because Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, all right, for our visitors, the verses are there. You can follow. Jesus said, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Jesus wanted to teach very clearly. If you want to study on prayer in the life of Jesus, Jesus taught the most about praying in the book of Luke. Okay? So, and he teach here, and he wants people always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint. When we get tired, or when we are going through certain things and we come to the so-called end of our life, what do we normally do? We will usually ask for help, right? We can't do this assignment. But you know, in some situations, people will go through life, they persevere to the point that they actually give up. Right? So Jesus is encouraging us, look, you don't have to give up. Why? Because God has given us prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to give up, literally to faint. Okay? Another verse, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, constantly having an attitude of prayer in everything. Prayer involves a whole range of activities. It can involve praying, it can involve thanksgiving, petition, just praising God, or just worshiping God, singing to Him. These are all prayer because it relates to our communication with God. Okay? Now, we all know what is praying, right? I don't want to assume that we know. To some people, praying when you go to a church or temple means you have to follow a set of rules. Or some what you call, if you go to a Catholic church, maybe an Anglican church, they will have this Book of Common Prayer. Is that right? It's a Book of Common Prayer, right? And they will, in the service I've joined in many years ago, they will actually follow those for common prayer. Okay? Not saying it's wrong. As long as it is prayed, not because you're following a set of prayer, like a ritual, or you're praying from your heart, because that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to pray from our hearts. Okay? And for those who came for the FBI, Pastor John Yes was actually mentioning also that sometimes we pray, we may not have a set of ritualistic prayer, but we have set sentences in which we use in prayer, and we just mix it around. Okay? But anyway, that's another story. But prayer involves a whole range of activities. Here in James chapter 5, James highlights three situations in which all of us need to pray. And as I look at that, sometimes, I believe many times we pray, but you know, sometimes we may neglect the office of prayer when we go through these things. All right? So I just want to highlight three areas, the times that we should pray. Number one, we will pray, or we need to pray, we ought to pray in times of affliction. The Bible says here in verse 15, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Are you afflicted? Let him pray. Okay? The word affliction refers to trouble. The word affliction refers to trouble or hardship. Some trials that you're going through, literally. Okay? And James says, so when you have trouble, you need to pray. That's what James says. Sounds easy, right? How many of us actually in our hearts would honestly say, sometimes when trouble comes, the first thing we may do is to respond by what are some of the ways people respond to troubles that come? What are some of the ways? Does anyone have any insight? Like for example, let's say, okay, you're driving and you hit a curb and your light blow. So what's the first response? You call for help from who?
Mechanic.
Okay. Tow truck sent for repair. Yeah, okay, you call. Well, these are the practical aspects, lah. All right, and then you know, but sometimes we go into trouble that no mechanic can help. All right, sometimes a situation may warrant us when we respond to it the way we respond. And some people, the Bible actually talks about murmuring. Complain, like the Israelites when they went into the desert, no food. The first thing they do is complain to Moses. Moses, it's your fault. We are here because you brought us here. There's no food, you know. But you know, God says when trouble comes, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. James actually is given apostolic instruction. In other words, God is giving instruction. If you face a trouble, the first thing as a Christian, you need to pray. If you're fearful for your exams, you pray. If you're concerned about the youth camp, you pray. If there's no, if there's a lack of certain resources, like I'll be honest and open right now, we do need people in the VBS and the youth camp to be involved. Okay, don't just pray. We need to pray and work. Okay, we need to be involved if you can. All right, make that time, sir. But no, when we're facing the trouble, we need to pray. You know, trouble comes to all of us. Agree? We all have trouble. Job 5:7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. Jesus promised, not that he promised, Jesus made a statement in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's an accepted. In fact, the tribulation of a Christian sometimes can be more. Not because of the situations, but because of what it does to our faith. And it's interesting, I mentioned this before, many times when troubles come, people will not give up their jobs, they will not give up their salary, they will not give up their whatever hobbies. But the first thing that trials comes to many Christians, they give up their faith. Think about that. You know why? Guess who's behind that? Of course, God allows the trials to come. But you know, the first thing, therefore, James says, if you're in trouble, pray. Okay? But as Christians, we have a blessing. We can come before the throne of grace. The throne of grace. You know what's the throne of grace? You know what's the throne? The throne, right? You don't realize in the Old Testament, the Jewish people could not come to God without someone else, the high priest. I think we all know that. Okay? But in modern day Christianity, after Jesus Christ died on the cross, the big curtain, the holy of the veil that separated the, okay, let's pretend this is the holy of the curtain. Okay, and usually the curtain is made actually of stone. What is called a curtain is huge stone that separated God's presence from the people. And once a year, the high priest will go into the presence of God and make petition to God. If the high priest has sinned in his life, he is killed immediately by the holiness of God. All right? But when Jesus died in Matthew 27, the Bible says the curtain was torn asunder. That's not just symbolic. That's literally God telling us, you don't need, I'm not going to separate myself from you anymore. Because of Jesus Christ and what he has done, all of us have access to God. Amen? All, every Christian, whenever you have a heart of burden, you can come to God and pray. And you know what? God invites everyone to come. He invites us to come. Okay? So, in Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Let me ask you, is there something in your heart troubling you today? You know what God says? Pray. Remember, when you pray, you are putting the petition to God. And when you put your petition to God, you are putting your petition in the hands of someone who knows what you're going through. Amen? In Hebrews 4:15, we talk about that. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, we are handing our petition to someone who knows how we feel and what we're going through. Number two, we are, it's not there, I'm just adding this, okay? When we pray, when we are in trouble, we are handing our petitions to someone who can do something about it. Amen. How many of us sometimes reach the end of our life, we don't know what to do? You know what? God can do something about it. He always has the plans. But sometimes God just wants us to pray so that we learn to trust Him. Okay? And thirdly, we are handing the petitions to someone who wants the best for us. Isn't that a blessing? That when we pray, if, are you afflicted? Is there trouble and hardship? Then pray, because you're handing to someone who knows what you're going through, to someone who can do something about it, and to someone who always wants the best for you. That's why James said pray. Alright, so that's the first point. Pray in times of affliction. But number two, a life of prayerfulness, we will praise in times of gladness. Is any merry? Is any merry? Not the name Mary, M-A-R-Y, but is any merry the idea of glad? Are you happy? Is something happened that made you smile? Alright, let him sing psalms. Okay? Let him sing psalms. In verse number, let him sing psalms. Okay? The word singing psalms, some people say, oh, you can only sing the book of psalms when you're happy. That's not what it means. Okay? Some people say, you know, there's this book called the Book of Scottish Psalter, which is actually a Scottish arrangement of music based solely on the book of psalms. Okay? Some of you may have that, Scottish Psalter. Here, all James is saying, psalms are what you call religious songs in those days. Okay, that they will sing the book of Psalms. The idea of expression of joy in a song. Okay, so we can praise the Lord. We all have bad times, but we also have great times. Amen? How many of you have just had great times this week? Put out your hand. Oh, okay. So, okay, great times already. Some of you put out your hand straight. Anyone have great times this week? Yeah, don't be shy. We have great times. Catherine had great time. You had a great time this week? Yeah, okay. Did you remember to sing? I'm not talking sing worldly songs and rock songs and all that. Sing psalms, okay? Now the question is why? Okay, let me just highlight some great times, okay? A time of expecting a new addition to the family. That's a great time, okay? Huh? Because the fruit of the womb is God's reward. A promotion is a great time. Okay? A friendship and times of encouragement are great times. Times of deliverance, that you were in a trouble but you were delivered out of it. That's a great time. Okay, seeing old friends coming back, it's always a joy to see Christian friends that we had in our church, then they left, then they come back. It's always a big encouragement. Now, the question is, why do we sing praise in times of gladness? The reason is this: we sing praise to God because we recognize He's been good to us. Amen? We sing praise, if any merry lane, let him sing psalms. Because psalms are your expression of praise to what God has done for you. Because it is a relationship we have with God. So when we sing, we are expressing that. Psalm 34, let's turn there. Let's turn there. It's a wonderful... I'll just read and let God's word speak for itself. Psalm 34. We'll pray in times of trouble. We'll praise in times of gladness. Psalm 34. Let me just read. Just let the word of God sink into our hearts. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And then in verse 4, the psalmist David began to share why. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Deliver me, man. And they look unto him and were lightened. In other words, the people will look to God and their face were lightened. In other words, they became like, last time was like, don't even look at God. Their face got lightened. And in verse 5, the Bible says, and their faces were not ashamed. Whoever seeks God will not be ashamed. Amen. When you come to God and seek his face, you will never be ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried. This something I cried to God. The Lord heard me and saved me from out of all my troubles. Verse 7, for those of you who oftentimes wonder where I got this verse from, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. God surrounds us and protects us and saves us from our trouble. Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There's no want. The word want there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? The word want means I shall not lack anything. If God is my shepherd, I will not lack anything. I will not lack anything. There was one... young boy at Sunday school who was asked to memorize Psalm verse 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But this boy is known to be someone who kalang kabut, always he will mess up lah, basically. And so on that day he was asked to memorize the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want to know anything else. But you know what? Even in the expression and the verse, it does give the meaning of the verse. Okay, I don't want to know anything else. Why? I just want to know the Lord is my shepherd. Do you know what I mean? If you studied, I think many years ago, I went through a whole, just verse by verse, taking how a shepherd looks at the book of Psalms, and you realize that in every verse, God's care over us is so immensely powerful. And he oftentimes represents his care for us in times of our troubles. And we praise God for that. That's why we need to sing. So when you have a good time, sing praise. Okay, sing praise. Now in the first two points that I just mentioned, we pray when we have trouble, we sing when we actually are glad. Do you realize, what does the world do when they have trouble? The non-believers, what do they do when they have trouble? Some drink. Some go to drugs, some whatever. They try to forget their sorrows in something. I remember last time when my father-in-law, I had some problem with his business, and he would just go out and drink, and thinking that they will forget their troubles, right? But does it help you to forget your troubles? It gives you a headache, and the troubles are still there after that. Okay? It doesn't give you a trouble. The world actually have different ways. And sometimes we may talk to a friend, which is okay. You talk to your friends about your troubles. And sometimes when you're happy, what does the world do when they're happy? What does the world do when they're happy? They? What do they do when they're happy in the world? When the world, they celebrate, okay, what do they do? Drink or so. It's a bit strange, right? You got trouble, you drink. Yeah, of course, they will include alcohol, okay, they drink or so, right? Yeah, there was one time when I was at the coffee shop, it was really quite staggering. I was there doing my work, and then after that, I noticed across the table, there were about four men. And I noticed beside the men, there were like four crates of Anchor. And they've been there, and so I was just curious. And it's like, all unopened. Then I was asking the waiter, hey, how come? I said, Oh, they've been drinking for the last 5 hours. It's like, okay. Maybe they're happy, I'm not. I think she mentioned something along the lines that it was the day, their payday, lah, so they kind of want to celebrate. No, when you're happy, you drink. When you're sad, you drink. But of course, the world have their way of celebrating as well. James is saying, as life of a Christian, a life of faith, when we have trouble, we pray. Because why? A life of faith will redirect our prayers back to God in times of trouble. When we are glad, our songs will redirect our gratefulness back to God. That's a life of faith. Does that make sense? And that's what James wants to encourage in his people. Because complaining, dejection, discouragement, disillusionment is oftentimes the result of trials. And sometimes when things get good, there's a tendency for us to forget about God. And James therefore says, is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Bring your request back to God. Are you married? Then let him sing psalms. Because God, in a life of faith, is central. All right? One more point, then we're finished. The Bible says in verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, this is quite an interesting verse. The Bible says, is any sick? The word sick here literally means not just your common cold, it's a serious sickness. All right, in the Greek, it means a serious sickness, kind of like maybe a serious sickness, a stroke, or something that's life-threatening. Okay, the reason that the elders are to be called in this context is not because the elders have super spiritual powers, which I think in some parts of the world, they believe that, someone got say, quickly call the priest or call the pastor. He pray, I sure happen one. I'm just as a man, just like you. Okay, I don't have the gift of healing. I'm sorry, I just confess that I don't have the gift of healing. But the focus here that James wants to expound is, if there's really a serious sickness, call for the elders to pray. This was obviously a time of crisis in the life of the believer. You see, a believer will go through different troubles in life, and they can go quietly pray, God can answer their prayer, and they move on. But now there's a serious sickness. The idea that James wants to actually highlight is that when there's a serious crisis, okay, in this situation indicated by a sickness, if there's crisis in the life of the believer, you're not on your own. Call for those who care for you to pray together with you. Does that make sense? And the third point is we will ask for prayer. A life of faith is reflected that we will ask for prayer in times of serious sickness. I'm not just using specifically to this case. But in time of any serious event that happened, it's important for us to get Christians to pray together with us. Okay? So in this situation, there was obviously a time of crisis in the life of the believer. Collective prayer, unity in prayer, reflects the faith of the congregation and the belief in the Lord that united prayers is needed to help the situation. When the early church apostles actually had problems, you know, they were being persecuted by the Pharisees. What did they do when they went back? The Bible says they reported back to the church and everyone united in prayer. And as everyone united in prayer, when God's work was affected, everyone came together because of their concern and they prayed. Okay? In this situation, if there's a serious sickness in the family and your prayers, and of course God hears your prayer, God says call for the elders to come. Because there's another layer that James talks about later on. Okay? But here, the focus is not on the elders to pray, but the focus that James says is the prayer of faith. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, not the elders. Does that make sense? When you call for the elders to pray, we're all praying collectively by faith. And there's a promise, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Okay? Now we always have to qualify scripture with scripture if it's the Lord's will. Alright? Because sometimes it's the Lord's will to take the person away. And that is God's will. But you know what? In a situation whereby there is no, in terms of you study this passage, there's not really any, some people may try to read into it about faith healers and all that. It doesn't really warrant that because the passage doesn't talk about that. Okay? But as we pray, the focus here is on the prayer of faith, collectively. Because sometimes when we go through a crisis, put it this way, your faith is being challenged, right? And sometimes when your faith is being challenged, it is very hard for you to persist in praying. You know what James says? In fact, it's an apostle call for the elders to come to support you as you pray. That's the idea that he has. And so collectively, your faith will not fail. Sometimes when we go through the crisis, our faith fails. We cannot press on. That's why God says, call for the elders to come to support you in that. Basically, those people who spiritually care for you so that he can continue to pray for you, and the prayer of faith will help you through that situation. All right? Now, so he also said, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And the second part is anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay, now this has to do with serious sicknesses. Okay, now as we pray, there's the anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The oil here in the Bible times, there are two things that we need to think about. One, oil refers many times to the anointing of kings and priests. Okay, like when Samuel came, they anointed David with oil. Okay, that was the will of God to be the next king. But in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 34, you have that verse inside there. And the oil has the idea of medication as well, all right? Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Okay? The man was obviously beaten by the robbers and everything was stolen from him. He was left for dead. The Good Samaritan came, the Bible says, Luke 10, 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Okay? The idea there is that pouring in what? Oil and wine into what? Into the wounds. To help. Okay? So, seems to suggest very much in the book of James chapter 5 verse 14 that you anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord has the idea of using whatever available means to help. In those days, they believe anointing with oil actually helps. Alright? In some situations to help the sickness and all that. And remember, when we, firstly, is to go to God, and number two, use whatever available means that God has provided for us. Okay, some churches don't believe in medication. I don't believe that is what God is teaching here. God is very clear. As far as God is concerned, prayer is important, but God does give us the means to also help the situation. Okay, so we need to actually be very clear. There was one time, there was a couple from a church whose daughter was in ICU, and the pastor came and said, no, you just have to believe in God, she'll be fine. The doctor says, look, she needs a blood transfusion. It's very clearly SOP, this is what happened, you need a blood transfusion. And of course the parents was in a cross between two, you know, and because the pastor said, no, you have to trust God and no blood transfusion. But then for this particular couple, the doctor says, look, she needs, and it is shown if you have a transfusion, she will recover. It's just that simple. But because of so-called faith, we need to be careful. This lady, the couple actually listened to the pastor. I'm not saying don't listen to the pastor, but in this situation, listen to the wrong counsel. The pastor actually said, don't take the blood against medical advice. And sadly, the daughter died. And her parents were very, very bitter. Okay. God provided means for us. And sometimes God doesn't do the supernatural simply because you can do it. Example, D.L. Moody was praying in a prayer meeting. And this is a very powerful example of a prayer meeting. And the businessman, the very rich people, and say, oh God, send us $1,500 so that we can do this work for you. D.L. Moody stopped the meeting and said, why are you praying for $1,500? Can't you give that? Can't you give that? Don't you have the means? They are businessmen. They are rich. Why are you asking God for $1,500 when God, in His goodness, has put that money in your hands? Why are you keeping your money for? Does it make sense? God uses means. All right. So in this situation, pray by faith, but do what is available to you, anointing them, but in the name of the Lord, knowing that when you give those medication, it is not the medication that will heal, but the prayer of faith. Does that make sense? And this is a very important principle that James wanted to teach those people that we will ask for prayer in times of serious sickness, and together with the wisdom God gives doctors and medical help, we will also recognize ultimately by faith that it is God and His will that will deal with the medical condition. All right? So, we recently were praying for a lady whose grandma went to coma, needed an operation. But you know, after we prayed, they had an operation, praise God, the grandma started talking again, and after that, and she came out of that. So we praise God that prayer and the necessary medical help helped the grandma to move on. All right? So this is important, right? But in 15, James actually goes another layer. And this is an important principle. He says that, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Okay? And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It seems to suggest here, James says, some illnesses, not all, let me be very clear, not all illnesses that men have or Christians have is because of sin. There are some people who believe that. That is not Bible teaching. Yes, some is a direct result of sin. Okay, if you smoke, you will get lung cancer. Okay, and you, even if you're a Christian or not, you will still get lung cancer because there's a natural consequence. There are some things that are just natural. Okay, but some people contract certain things. All right, and they say, oh, it must be because you have sinned. But then if a person said, no, what have I done? There will be sin. Job, for example, remember? Job experienced all kinds of medical problems. He had sores from his head to the bottom of his soles, and his life was just totally broken. His health was broken, but he did not sin. God said he did not sin. Okay, sometimes illnesses can be sent as a trial to a person. But in this situation, it seems to suggest that the illness is because of sin. All right? And when we pray and call for the elders of the church, the purpose is actually to spiritually also assess the situation, whether there is something that God is trying to do in the life of the person. Okay? In one illustration, there was a deacon who was very faithful, but later on she began to be very caught up in his work. And what happened was one day, he was a workaholic and he wasn't coming to church and stuff like this, and the pastor was trying to counsel him and work with him, but he said no, you know. And then he had a heart attack. He had a heart attack. As he was in hospital, heart attack. The pastor and one of the evangelists actually went to see him, and then the one look at the pastor, he said, "Pastor, he maketh me to lie down, so that the only way I can look is up. I've been so busy with all my things, I forgot that my illness is because God wanted to point me back to him." Okay? So when the idea here, James is saying that sometimes in times of serious sickness and people are literally dying, the prayer of faith can save the sick because it was the result of some unconfessed things in the life of the believer. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have that, but I'm saying that this is what James is teaching. And truly, in some situation, it can actually happen, like in the illustration I gave to you just now. Okay? So, James mentioned a particular case here that sometimes it's because of our sin that we are affected internally. Okay? Psalm 32 says that. Psalm 32. David mentioned he was afflicted, his bones was drying up within him and all that. Why? It was because he didn't confess his sin. He didn't want to confess his sin. Okay? In fact, God, the Bible says, was very displeased with his adultery, with Bathsheba. He was displeased with his planning or plotting to kill Uriah. Okay? And finally killed Uriah, murdered him. And later on, for 1 year, David rejected God's conviction on his life. Although, for the 1 year in Psalm 32, God was actively convicting him. And the Bible says the more he pushed God out, the drier he became. Life became dry. Life became meaningless to him. And his physical self actually wasted away in Psalm 32 until he confessed his sin. Okay? So in this situation, in times of serious sickness, many believers here, James wants them to be led to consider their ways, and a humble confession of sins can lead to a recuperation and recovery of the illness. It's a possibility, but not sometimes. Okay, so the first thing we do whenever we have illness to apply this passage is, Lord, I thank you for the illness in my life, and you pray and ask God for healing. But then if God does show you certain things in our life that say, hey, it's because of this, then confess that sin to God. Okay? Especially in times of serious sickness, it's important to call for the elders of the church, okay, the people who care about you spiritually, to pray together too. Okay? Faith and the ministry of prayer will deal with the sickness, but faith and the ministry of prayer can also, in the course of the sicknesses, sometimes deal with the deeper issues of the Christian, which sometimes could be sin. Not all the time, but sin. But James is just highlighting this because in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Okay? So James indicated that the life of faith is indicated by a life of prayerfulness. When we have trouble, we pray. When we are happy, we pray. And when it's times of serious sickness, there can be a crisis. And sometimes, you know, my sister Xiaoling's mom had a stroke. She called for the church to pray. It's getting better. My friend, Joanna's friend, daughter Joanna's friend, mom is still in ICU but moved out, but still, she's still struggling with her, but she's still praying for the mom to come out of a coma. Okay? But it's interesting, you know, in some situations, a serious illness God throws into the family is actually to deal with the issues in the family. And it's something that sometimes can be quite tender. But James actually wants us to realize that it's actually a principle that sometimes illnesses are brought simply to get people back to God. Okay? Can I say this in by faith in Christ, in His Word? Everything that happens in our lives, God has a purpose. Whether it's illness or on. But any purpose is always this, to draw us back to Him. Always back to Him. Okay? Any trial, anything that happens to you that draws you away from God cannot be from God. Anything that draws you away from this Bible cannot be from God. Anything that draws you away from prayer, from fellowship, cannot be from God. Why? Because God will always work all things to bring us back to Him. Okay? So as we close, we want to ask ourselves, is the life of a life of constant prayerfulness in all situations, trouble, joy, or even crisis? Is our life a life of constant communion with God? And the life, this kind of spiritual life will help us to pray when we are afflicted, we'll praise when we're merry, and we'll call for prayer in times of serious sickness. Okay? And I hope you will always remember this. You can pray in all situations in your life. Pastor Johnny, you finished already? Yeah? Yes. Let's have a word of prayer. Alright? Say, Lord. Yes. Okay. For the young ones, yes, sorry. Can, yeah. Or just in case you misunderstand. Okay, thank you, Brother Henry. Okay, that is what Brother Henry is saying. Just in case the young ones will think, oh, so when I'm in trouble, only have serious sickness and happy, then I can pray. Other times I cannot pray. No, that's not what James is teaching. Okay, James, remember, as he teaches in context, is expressing some of the situations in the church. And he says, if you are really having trouble, don't go to the world, don't complain, pray. If you're happy, don't be like the world in their celebrations. Give thanks to God. And if you're seriously in a crisis in your life, call for people to pray with you as well. All right? Okay, let's have one more prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we can pray. Heavenly Father, I do not know what is troubling some of our brethren here. Maybe there's something in their lives. Father, I just want to ask your Holy Spirit to hover over this place and Lord, that you will do your work in the lives of these Christians. Father, if there's a brethren that have a trial in his life, I pray right now, Lord, that they will learn to give it to you. For those who are happy in the Lord and thankful, I pray they will pray. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, let me just say this. If you truly have an affliction in your life, a trouble or hardship that you're going through right now, and as you hear this message, or if you're happy of what the Lord has been doing in your life and you're blessed, we'll take about 1 or 2 minutes. If you are the brethren who have, Pastor, there's something in my heart that I'm afflicted and there's some hardship and some trouble that I'm having. For the next 1 or 2 minutes, I'd like you to just spend that time in prayer to God. Let's just practice what we've just heard. And if you are thankful and grateful for all the things, just spend that time just praising God in your heart. Tell Him how much you are thankful for Him. All right, then after I'll close in a word of prayer. All right, let's spend that 1-2 minutes in silent prayer ourselves. Okay, if you have other needs, just feel free to bring it before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry, for your precious word. Your word teaches us that when we have trouble, we can pray. Lord, in the last 1 minute or so, I'm sure some of the brethren have lifted up their request to you. I pray, Lord, that you answer that in a powerful way. Answer that specifically because it is something that is important to them. And I pray also, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will help them to pray in a way that will fulfill your will in their lives. And that, Father, they will always listen to your will and your word first as they pray. And Lord, even as their heart is heavy, I pray that you will send them the encouragement they need, the comfort they need, the grace they need to bear the hardship and the affliction. And to always remember, Lord, they can pray no matter what happens. Father, for some brethren who have praised you and thank you, Lord, you deserve our praise every day, every minute of our lives. You are such a great God, a wonderful God, a loving God, a caring God, a God that will always take care of us. And Lord, we are thankful that some of the brethren, Lord, have indicated they have great days this week. And Father, I pray in their hearts they will always be thanking you because, Lord, of the good things and great things you've done in their lives. Heavenly Father, if there is a brethren who you are working on with regards to a serious sickness or something, Lord, that is a situation in their lives, Heavenly Father, I pray that they will be willing, Lord, to call for those who spiritually watch over them, that they might be able to have more support in that prayer. Help us never to be ashamed to share, Lord, with another brother or sister our deepest needs that need prayer, especially in a time that we may faint and be weary. So, Lord, we thank you that you have heard our prayer. We know you have heard our prayer because you promise you will. We are so grateful, Lord. We have a Heavenly Father who always keeps his word. And Lord, we thank you that we can come to you in this time of prayer. And as we sing the closing hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you will help us always to remember in trials, temptation, in gladness or sickness, in all kinds of situations, Lord, we can pray. Help us, Lord, to have prayerfulness, to be a life of faith, to be our life of faith. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.